Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's another beautiful Sunday. And still with all that's happening in the world, we still have a lot to be thankful for. Are there any announcements? No announcements? Okay, any announcements we have are on the back of the bulletin. Like a special event for July. Have you been baptized? The graduates, spots for cleaning the church, and the last day for items in the newsletter, Sister Maxine. Any other announcements?
We will have Pastor Ed here on July the 6th. He will be filling in that Sunday.
All right. You know, if you look around and see how quickly technology is changing the way we live, we know as fast as technology is changing, the price of salvation has still been the same. Jesus paid it all. And you don't need money or price to come to the cross. Just as I am with that one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me. What a price. So at this time, Mr. Jerry, if you would, sir. Call to worship is from Psalm 63, verses 1 through 4. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I will seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. We thank you, Father, for another day and for another privilege to be here to worship you, Lord God, in spirit and in truth. And may your presence be made known, but you are glorified, Father, because we thank you and praise you for salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you would, please stand and turn the page 450.
Oh, beautiful, poor, spacious skies, amber waves of gray, for purple mountains, His grace on thee and crown thy good.
Praise God. He shed his grace on thee. Praise the Lord. Let's look to a call to stewardship. Found in Luke 16:10. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whosoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest in much. Let us pray for the gifts for today. We thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you, Father, that you give us hands to work and a mind to work, Lord God, and a heart of desire, Lord, to do the work, Lord, that we may continue on the business of the church for the winning of lost souls, that the gift and the giver, Lord God, will be for your work and for your kingdom. That we thank you, Father, that you give to us just a portion and allow us to give back, Lord God. But we thank you for the greatest gift of Jesus Christ. We just thank you and praise you, Father, for all you're about to do in this place. And again, we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are there any prayer requests at this time? I already have Ralph and Debbie and Pat and Frank, Bob and Linda, the church family, most of all our nation. Any other prayer requests?
I want to continue prayers for Ricky and Travis and Katie and our schools really need that prayer.
Yes, sir.
Doris and Kathy.
Yes.
I just have unspoken requests, please.
How's Mr. Bob?
He's had a really rough weekend.
You think with all the technologies out there, they could figure out the problems of the human body?
Yeah. You would think.
Yeah. You think they also have the technology to cure cancer with all the technology that's out there. Anyhow, any other prayer requests on this side? Small list today. But God knows each and every one. So if we would, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for the privilege to pray, to intercede on behalf of others, for those who are not here today, who are traveling, Lord, visiting family and friends, and still for those, Father, around the nations who have lost everything, that you're able to restore, Lord God, that which the enemy has taken away. Father, I lift up each one in these prayer requests today, that you would move on their behalf, that you would meet their need, that you would comfort those that mourn. And for those who lost family members this week, Lord, I just ask for your presence in their life, to fill their hearts, Lord God, with joy unspeakable and full of glory. But most of all, Father, just the comfort of the Holy Spirit to remind them that they are not alone, that you are with them, Lord God. For each one who has financial need, Lord God, I lift them up to you in today's trying times and constant changing of their finances, Lord, that you would bring stability into their lives. For family members, Lord God, who are just struggling to make it, I just ask for your Holy Spirit to intervene and bring them peace, and help them to find that joy of the Lord that is their strength. I just lift up Ralph and Debbie as they travel, and all the others who are traveling, for Bob and Linda, for Frank and Pat, and for all these families mentioned, Lord God. I just ask for a mighty move of God in their lives, that you would meet the needs, Lord God, according to your word, that your promises are yea and amen. I just ask, Lord God, that you would be with each one, Lord God, who is sick in body, Lord God, and give them the strength, Lord God, to carry on. For those, Father, who have no peace of mind with what's happening in foreign countries with all the bombings, Lord, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would intervene and bring peace, Lord God, to all these troubled nations. But with what's happening, Lord God, how much longer do any of us have, Lord God, before the trumpet sounds and takes us home? Father, I just thank you and praise you for this day, for this privilege to share this time, Lord God, with you, that you would meet these needs, Father. And we just praise you, Father. Our Father, thou art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you would, please stand, turn to page 62. Sometimes we read songs and we forget some of the words that's written. Because thy promise, I believe. And God has made his promises, and I believe. And our scripture reading today is taken from Esther, chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. He sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your role position for such a time as this. At this time, Mr. Sam will share with us the Word of God.
Thank you, Brent. They were looking at, for such a time as this. We're going to look today to see, why did Mordecai say that to Esther? For such a time as this. But that's true for all of us. We're here today for such a time as this. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we give thanks for your word. Thank you for the book of Esther. Thank you for the life of Esther. Thank you for how you intervened in her life. Help us to do your will, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. When I'm thinking about for such a time as this, we're going to see what happened. This is Esther 4. What happened in 1, 2, and 3 that he would say that? We're not here by chance. We're here by the will of God. So I want to talk a little bit about you. You are here for such a time as this. What happened with Esther? It wasn't her fault. She didn't do anything to cause it. She didn't know about it. She was minding her own business. All these other things happened to this point. But that's true of you. Every one of us, we did not choose when we're going to be born, right? Where we're going to be born, right? How we're going to be born, my Caesarean, because 10 years earlier, mother, full term, stillbirth. You mothers can understand how they must have felt. 2 years later, a son, 1 hour. And he died. And my parents were both 41. So the biological clock is kind of winding down. And this is what they got. So I had nothing to do with that. But then I look about so many things in my life that have had an impact. I had nothing to do with it. Now, Dan went to private school. But most of us went to a school because of a school district, right? You went to Thurmont because you were in the Thurmont district. I went to Lewistown Elementary School. In those days, Lewistown was in the Frederick High School district. So where'd I go? Frederick High School. Then it went to Walkersville for a while. Today, Lewistown is in Catoctin. If I had been in Catoctin, I guess I would have been like I always am, a little older than Frank. But I was in Frederick High School. I lived on a farm. I didn't take agriculture in school because I already knew how to milk a cow and drive a John Deere tractor. So I took general commercial, which included typing. And I asked my teacher one time, why do I have to know to run a typewriter in order to run a John Deere tractor? Mr. Smith, walking down in Frederick High School, he turned to me and said something I could not believe what he said. Sam, you might not always drive a John Deere tractor. Are you serious? Haven't driven one in 40 years. But I had to learn how to run a typewriter. And during that summer between junior and senior year, I practiced. My senior year, straight A's and typing. It just so happened, I'm going to mention this a couple of times, you know it's not true, but it just so happened my typing teacher was a pastor's wife of the All Saints Episcopal Church in Frederick. It so happened that the owners of the Frederick News Post attended that church. And she saw my straight A's. She must have talked to my senior advisor, and she made an appointment for me with the owner of the News Post. Now, when the pastor's wife makes an appointment, you're in pretty good hands. I didn't have any idea what that meant, but I was a newspaper reporter. That means that today, or in 2 weeks, I'll write an article in the News Post Now, I didn't see that in 1956, but God knew that. So for such a time as this, I worked at the News Post and now can write. But that's true of all you folks. For such a time as this, suppose the original Bakers had not lived in this area. Right? You didn't plan that. And didn't you make the Bakers come here back in 1800, wherever they came? Suppose they gone to Walkersville or Emmitsburg or Quakertown. Maybe Quakertown's closer, but Tawnytown. So all these things lead up to we're here today because God has a special reason for us. If my mother's brother, Harry Clip, had not bought a farm across from my grandfather, Stanley Martz, my mother and dad would never met. If Jackie's grandfather had not come from Sperryville, Virginia to D.C. to get a job, then my mother-in-law wouldn't have been here. So what I'm saying is there's probably thousands of things that have happened in your life. You had nothing to do with it, but God put you here today for such a time as this. Does America need dedicated Christians today? Absolutely. Does the country need Christians praying for our nation? Unsaved people can't pray. We're the ones who have to intercede. So we look at the book of Esther. In Hebrew, her name means Hadasha or myrtle tree or beauty. Persian, it means Venus or beautiful. Greek, it means star and light. So we're going to see today events that happened 2,500 years ago that has a celebration this year, every year. We'll get to that a little bit later on. So what's going on here? Well, Daniel 2:21 says, God changes times. He removes kings. He sets up kings. We may vote, but God still is in control. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, who those who are called according to his purpose. You didn't just happen to be here today. God has you here for a reason. Now, the word time could mean opportunity or season. God has something for you today that only you can fulfill. And I've said time and time again, you have influence on people that wouldn't listen to me, but they're watching you. Even a neighbor this morning looked at his watch to see what time we're going to leave. I got a neighbor that's watching what time we leave to go to church. And when we had the church in Frederick, it was a different time. So we're back out of the driveway, and Bill said, hey, where are you going? Different. I didn't pay attention. I just go when it's time to go. But I thought, you know, if he's watching what time we go to church, he's watching how we live. And your neighbor's like that too. And even us. When you agree that there are people who have an impact on us, you don't say anything. I don't tell my neighbors how much I appreciate them all the time. Maybe I should. But we are here, living here. And so let's see what was going on in the book of Esther. So in chapter 1, we have an old queen, Vashti, was removed. Think about this. Esther chapter 1. The king had a feast for 127 leaders for 180 days. And the last 7 days, they guzzled it down like you wouldn't believe. And when they were filled with wine, 100 and some men, the king got a great idea. Let's have the beautiful queen come in and promenade in front of us. And when they told her to come, she said, what? Not in your life, ladies. How many of you would want to parade in front of 120 drunk men? Right? I don't care how beautiful you are or think you are. They absolutely, absolutely not going to do it. And so with this wine and all this in him, he was so angry, he removed the king, he removed the queen. So nobody is queen now. chapter 2 of the book of Esther, when the king sobers up enough to realize, I don't have a queen. Well, let's get one. And let's get it says here that they were going to get these nice young virgins, and it became Esther's turn. And Dan's going to tell us what happened when Esther came before the king.
Esther 2, 17 and 18. And the king loved Esther above all women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Then the king made a great feast unto all his princes and his servants, even Esther's feast. And he proclaimed a holiday to the provinces and gave gifts according to the generosity of the king.
Now, is there anything in this chapter Esther said, oh, I want to be queen. Oh, choose me. I'm beautiful. Do we see anything in there that she's putting herself out? Well, anybody better than me? Not at all. This was entirely God. Esther did not remove the previous queen. The king did. So she is made queen. All of this we can see by the hand of God. God put her in that place. There have been times with me where I've been in places of leadership. I hadn't designed. I hadn't planned on it. But here we are. Here we go. So now in chapter 3, things are going along good. Esther has a relative, Mordecai. And wouldn't you believe, right after Esther becomes queen, we have the king makes this guy Haman vice president. Now, I want to mention something. This was in ancient Persia. Today, it's the land of Iran. So this guy Haman came in, and he's some stuff. Never find somebody. They think they're better than anybody else. Now, in some respects, I'm glad when I meet a know-it-all, because I don't. Don't you like to talk to a know-it-all? They know everything but everything. Or do they? And so this guy, Naaman, struts around, and Mordecai says, I bow the knee to the Lord, but I don't bow the knee to any human being. Right? We stand for the flag. We kneel at the cross. And so Mordecai said, I'm not going to worship you. You're a human being like I am. And Haman got so angry, he thought, I'm going to kill that guy. Oh, he's Jewish. And in this chapter, they designed to kill all Jews. Persia had an edict to kill all Jews. What is Iran's number one goal today? Wipe Israel off the map. 2,500 years, nothing has changed. Iran today wants the nuclear bomb so they can destroy the little Satan, Israel. And when they destroy the little Satan, they want to destroy the big Satan. Who's that? Us. Too close to Camp David, folks. Too close to Washington, D.C. So what I'm saying is, what happened back then was a repeat today with Haman saying, I'm going to kill all the Jews. So then we come to chapter 4, and Mordecai is mortified. That's not too much to say. Mordecai is mortified. He's going to be killed. And so the first reaction is he puts on sackcloth and ashes and goes into the court before the king. Something I want to mention to you in the Old Testament. The kings in the Old Testament would not allow anyone to be sad in their presence. Nehemiah was serving the king, heard about Jerusalem, he got sad. Mordecai is sad. The philosophy was this. Think about this. It is such a privilege to serve the king that nothing else matters. Your government job is more important than anything else in the world, including family. Really? But some of them think that serving me is the best thing in the world. So when Mordecai does this, they say, wait a minute, you can't do that. And so the word gets to Esther, and Mordecai is really sad about something. What's going on? She's protected at this point from the announcement. But is she protected from the edict eventually? No. Got to catch up with her. So they go out and they try to take Mordecai, here's a new pair of clothes for you. He refused. And so eventually the message gets to Esther, and she begins to realize the situation. And Mordecai says, you're the queen. Go to the king. Tell him what's going on here. And the Bible also mentions they did not identify as Jews. They kept their identity. Even in America now, people have to watch their identity. If you're a Jewish couple in D.C., like last week, you might get shot in the streets. So Mordecai and Esther hadn't said they were Jewish, but now it's coming up. This edict is going to kill all of them. And they say, go into the king. And she says, well, I haven't been invited. If I go in, all right, there's a death threat on everybody. If I go in, I might get killed. Well, you're going to get killed anyway. So now we have the story with Esther leading up to what's going on here. And I'm going to have Dan read now Esther 4, 15, and 16. See what happens.
Then Esther gave Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me, and neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night and day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so I will go into the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish.
So the message goes to Esther. It's now in your hands. What are you going to do? Maybe God put you here for this reason. And Mordecai said, if you don't do something, somebody else will. You know, if a church says, well, we're not going to evangelize, God will get somebody else to do the evangelism. And I've seen this, I'm not going to get on church history a lot, but I've seen denominations that 100 years ago were evangelistic. Today they're not. So God has raised up others. They may do things a little bit differently. I'm not always happy with what I see. But God, if you think, well, if I hold my breath, the kingdom of God will die. Go ahead. Hold your breath. We'll wait for you. Pass out. We'll revive you. The church is not going to die. If you die, what's going to go on? So now the point was, Esther, you got to do something. I want to look at this in two ways. First of all, dependence on the Lord, followed by decision. But look at this dependence on the Lord. She said, go gather these Jews and fast. Depending on the Lord, I'm a determined person. But first, before I'm determined, I've got to have God. If you go on your own, I've seen people say, God, let me do thus and so. If it contradicts the Bible, it's not from God. So a lot of times, I find myself in a situation, I know what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to obey the Lord of the Bible. I'm not going to disobey the Lord of the Bible. But what would God have us do? Prayer and fasting. When we felt the Lord, my wife and I, felt very definite. The Lord wanted us to start a branch church. I was pastor of her home church for 12 years. We were in a building that held 150. We had 200 in the church. So the choir had to stay in the choir loft and so forth. We wanted to expand. And we felt very seriously in a pastor's meeting where I dedicated myself to start a church. But it took us months and months and months. and prayer. We had all-night prayer meetings. We had all-day prayer meetings, not in the church, but we would divide the calendar, and everybody would, someone would pray from 12 to 12:30, 12:30 to 1, so forth. And we spent much time in prayer. So that first Sunday wasn't because I was a good negotiator. It was, we knew this was God's will, prayer and fasting. In Matthew 17, we have an example of the disciples being on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, or seeing him in his glory, in his face, and what a wonderful time. When they came down to the bottom of the mountain, there was a man that had a son that was demon-possessed. And the disciples were calling the demon out, and the demon wouldn't go. And Jesus said, it's because of your unbelief. This kind goes out not by prayer and fasting. In Acts 13, the Holy Spirit said, separate from me Barnabas and Paul for the work I've called. And they fasted. I guess my question is, how serious are we about the will of God? Is it casual? We saw this morning this church in Pergamos. They got too casual. Got them in trouble. So we need to be serious about the things of the Lord. Prayer and fasting. Now, I'm not fasting right now, so I don't want you to think. I'm dropping a hint. I had a very good breakfast. And probably have a lunch and dinner. So I'm not doing it now. But there are times when I've been fasting. And no one but my wife would know about it. Fasting is to impress upon the Lord that we're serious about this. And then in John 15, two parts of this, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. And then these words, for without me, ye do nothing. It doesn't mean you don't do anything. It means it amounts to nothing. One of the things I used to hate when the kids were little, and you buy those Christmas toys, you got to put together. And it's all complicated. And I'm working on it. And I hate that question. Sam, did you follow directions? Why do you need directions? Why are you all laughing at me? Why want to follow directions? Anybody can do this. And I'll finish up and there's two or three pieces extra. Why would they put the extra parts in there? Oh, those parts went in first. And you got to take the whole thing apart. Have you ever done that? Have to redo something. So what Jesus is saying, on your own, you do nothing. I did that one time on a sermon. Only one time. When I was pastor of First Baptist Church, Calvert County, Maryland. I had the biggest backslider in the county attended our church. And I got fed up with that guy backsliding all the time. Always getting in trouble. So I, by the Spirit of God, man, I had a barn burner sermon. I thought, I probably won't get through the sermon because the wrath of God will be on that man so much, he'll be crawling down the aisle in tears. And I got a pulpit. I mean, my RPMs were at top. I was in overdrive. Got up to preach. I only had one problem. What was it? He wasn't there. Turned the heat back down. Seriously, I was convicted by the Spirit of God. You know what? God told me, you preach the word. Let me be the Spirit. Let me work in people's hearts. So I've never again planned a sermon for an individual. Now, when I know people, sometimes I will talk to them and say, you know, I'm not gunning for you, but I'm going verse by verse, and this is the verse next. So the Spirit of God works in our hearts. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Without Jesus, nothing. With Christ, everything. So then she said this, so I go to the king, which is not according to law, break the law. If I perish, I perish. Now, we have a couple other fellows in the Bible that had a situation just about like that. Daniel chapter 3, and Daniel is going to read Daniel 3, 17 and 18. Fiery furnace. Here we go.
If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up.
So the king made a big image. Said everybody's going to fall down and worship. Could we take the church at Pergamos? If they'd been there, maybe they would have gone along with it. We wouldn't have the story then, would we? The king said, you bow down and worship this image. And these ones said, we're not going to bow down. Maybe I didn't explain this to you. It's not an option. You ever have somebody tell you something and you're kind of declining? They say, you don't have an option. You do this or do this or you get fired. And you're saying, I'm not going to do it. So these three Hebrews, the king said, maybe you didn't get the message. Either you do that, fiery furnace, plus we already got it lit. We don't have to wait very long. It's already getting up about 200 degrees right now, and we've got more fuel for it. You're going in a fiery furnace. And this three guys says, Dan just wrenching. Well, our God's able to deliver us from your fiery furnace. Turn the heat up all you want. Our God can deliver us. And if not, we'll just burn up in the fiery furnace. How many people around the world have given their lives for Christ? We've talked about that. I don't know. This is my philosophy. See if you folks agree with me. I believe today God gives us the courage and the strength to live. If I was before a firing squad and they said, renounce Jesus or we're going to kill you, I believe at that time God would give me the courage. You understand that? Because I don't go around all the time. I'm not a martyr. Can you please kill this pastor? I like living too much to do that. I don't like ask for it. But I believe at that point, because I can't imagine. Years ago, it showed these people kneeling and the Muslims cutting their heads off. And all of them stayed true to the Lord. So I believe at that point, God will give us the boldness. I don't need that. Now, I'm not going to walk out in front of a truck and say, by God's grace, that 18-wheeler's going to stop. It will, but I'll be a spot, not stopped. So these three just stood there and said, we're not going to do it. So did they avoid the fiery furnace? No. They went in. And the king said, wait a minute. We threw in three, but I see four. I can't prove this. I just believe Jesus came down and turned the thermostat down to turn the AC on. Walking around, their clothes didn't even have smell like smoke. So God spared them because they were willing to put their life on the line. Revelation 12:11. It says, the saints overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So here is a determination. When you depend on the Lord, you know God's going to do whatever is best in his will. One of the things that we've enjoyed over the years is traveling historical places. One of my favorite is the Village Green in Lexington, Massachusetts. There's a monument there. On the monument it says, stand your ground. Don't fire unless fired upon. But they mean to have a war. Let it begin here. April 19, 1775. Captain Parker. So here was the American Revolution. And they said, we're not going to start it. But they want to have a war. We'll do it. Now, military, how many times have put their lives on the line. When I think today, Memorial Day, I think of my mother, my father-in-law, in the Battle of Bulge, when Jack was just little. There's no guarantee. A lot of them did not come back. Today is Memorial Day. And at 2 o'clock this afternoon, the Utica Cemetery will have our annual business meeting and worship service with a fantastic musician, world travel. If you want to come, if you can put up with the cemetery meeting, you get to hear a concert. But we have in our cemetery, out of 88 veterans, two of them killed in action. Two of them wounded in action. In one case, the father was injured. Was injured in the Normandy invasion. Survived. 26 years minus one day. His son was killed in Vietnam. Buried in our cemetery next to each other. Now, do you think that family, if there's still people surviving, take Memorial Day a little serious? Memorial Day is more than a party. And we have another one in there I keep saying. I don't know his religion, but his name is Martin Luther Clem. Injured in the Civil War, buried in Utica. So today, as I think about our liberty, how many people have put their lives on the line that we might be at calm and peace here today? So that's why we have Memorial Day, because some laid down their lives and died for us. So this tells us that Esther made this determination. So, success and survival, the rest of the book, it goes rather quickly. Esther thought, the king, how am I going to walk to the king? She walked in, he accepted her. Why? God moved in the king's heart. And so, fellows, she said to the king, I have a request for you. What's that? I have a delicious banquet. Man, you talk about getting a man through his stomach. We're going to feed you. So they had a big banquet. What great food you had. Mountain Gate couldn't even touch it. The best restaurants in the country couldn't touch it. And the king says, all right, what you have in mind? Oh, come back tomorrow. Are you serious? We're going to have another banquet? Yeah. And by the way, Guy Haman, bring him along. Meanwhile, Haman says, man, I'm choice. I'm special. Of all the people in the kingdom, they invited me to this banquet. Besides this guy Mordecai, we got these gallows built real high. We're going to hang that guy after the banquet. Be careful when you build gallows. Who's going to hang on it? So during the second banquet that Esther revealed that she's Jewish, this Haman wants to destroy my people. And so the king's wrath arose, and there was a hanging on the gallows. Who? Not Mordecai? Haman. So now we have Haman's hanged. Then the next chapter, chapter 8, the king revised the edict and elevated Mordecai. Now Mordecai is second in command, not Haman. But then in chapter 9, they established what today is called the Feast of Purim. Now, what they had done is wicked. When they decided to kill the Jews, they had to decide, well, when are we going to do this? So apparently they cast lots. What month, what should we do it? Not the first month. Well, it turned out to be, can you imagine, say I'm going to kill somebody on a certain date, and you just flip a coin to say, is it going to be Monday or Tuesday? Can you imagine? Now, we have people, apparently, that are designing right now to kill someone. We're having this across our nation. These murders do not happen accidentally. And so, 12th month, they're going to do it. Certain date. It's called Pur. So, the Feast of Purim was celebrated in Esther 9. This year, March 13, 14, and 15, the Jews celebrated Purim. So I'm telling you, for such a time as this, if Mordecai would have told Esther, Esther, if you do the right thing, 2,500 years from now, people will be celebrating it. Now, if I would have told you, if the Lord tarries another 50 years, your children will do thus and so. I said, well, I sure hope so, but that's not what we had in mind. So I'm here today because my mother and dad were faithful to the Lord. And Dad never got to see all the things. Now, he did see me in the ministry, but not that long, and he went to be with the Lord. So we're living the day our children may do the things we thought could never be possible. So we're going to close with Esther, chapter 10, verse 3. This guy, Mordecai, that they were going to hang. Let's see what happened to him, Dan.
For Mordecai the Jew was next unto the king, and was great among the Jews, and accepted by the multitude of his brethren, seeking the good of his people, and speaking peace to all his countrymen.
All this happened because Esther was faithful to her assignment. So may each of us realize we are here for a reason. Dedicate ourselves to the Lord, but we're determined to do what God would have us to do. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we give thanks for those who have gone before us, even in this church. Many that have served you 100 years ago are with you. We don't know how long we have or how long until you come, but we know your word is faithful. Thank you for those that have followed on. Help us to do your will, to know you've got us here for a reason. May we do it for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.
Shall meet on that beautiful shore. I wonder how long it'll be before we finally get there. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, one of my favorite scriptures. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Mr. Jerry.
Praise God from whom all blessings.
Thank you all for coming.